Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Our guest today is a former college player of the year and defensive player of the year at Indiana. Number two overall pick in the 2013 NBA draft. Two-time All-Star, All-NBA, All-Defense, and the best singer in the NBA. We got Victor Oladipo. You know we got to show Victor Oladipo on the building. We got to show you love.
Why'd he hit the note, though?
I love that. That's tough.
Why'd he hit the note, though?
Hitting them good notes.
I like that.
So, Vic, let's just start off with it, man. You know, I scoured your social before you came on. I like to dig deep, do research. You've been hashtagging a lot of your posts with Revenge Tour. This is your first full summer to get work in since, what, like 2018? So what has this offseason been like for you, and how excited are you now entering your 10th season in the NBA?
Man, honestly, it's just been fun, you know, just being able to just hoop, you know what I mean? Go to different gyms, go to different places and hoop, you know, versus guys I'll see in the fall, the winter, the spring. I haven't had that opportunity since the summer of 2018. So my path has been different, and I feel like sometimes, you know, I'm judged on that, which, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. That's what people gonna do. But now I plan on being judged on the work I put in this summer as well. So I'm just looking forward to going out there and playing at the highest level, man, and being able to play a whole year, God willing, would be, you know, amazing for me. So I just miss playing basketball. Last year was a little different, obviously, with the circumstance, me missing the whole year, coming back, playing six games, and then kind of getting thrown in a rotation in the playoffs. But, you know, I feel like I'm coming into this season prepared. So I'm looking forward to it.
That injury year is the most frustrating thing ever.
Oh, man.
You know, especially when, like, it's when you get injured, when you're sitting here like, yeah, I'm here, yeah, right? Man. Then you get injured, then you spend the summer rehabbing, not working on the next development of your game.
Exactly.
And that, like, people really don't understand mentally how that, like, puts a toll on you. Like, mm-hmm. you start seeing players, like, get closer to your skill, then you see guys you was catching up move a little bit further, and you're like, yo, I need to, come on, do something for me.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it's like I went through its most frustrating thing ever. Like, I knew I couldn't do nothing on this knee, and I'm still like, yo, let's just train, bro. I know I'm supposed to be rehabbing. Like, nah, forget the rehab. I need to work on my skill development because I need to keep my place.
You know, and it's tough, Gil, because you got to, like, save yourself from yourself when mm-hmm. you rehab, because it's like in rehabbing, you can only do so much, you know what I mean? Especially with what I was given, the cards I was dealt. So I could only play so many cards at a time. So mm-hmm. the first month, I want to go. I want to run. I want to jump. I want to. But your body won't let you, you know what I'm saying? And you know, as you slowly but surely, gradually continue to build, continue to work on your body and your craft, then slowly but surely you're like, okay, I can do this, now I can do this, now I can do this. Okay, you're cleared to do this. It's like, man.
Yeah, yeah. You're cleared to do just this. It's like, wait, what do you mean just this?
So it can get frustrating at mm-hmm. times, but it definitely is a test of your patience and your character as well, so.
That's what the test of your patience. Mm-hmm. I was not. like only because I started off my career on a bench, mm-hmm. not hurt, mm-hmm. right? But you know, when you're on, but see, it's before you came, they didn't have D-League. They had this thing called IR, mm-hmm. right? Injury reserve, right? Where the last three players, that's like, was it 13, 14, 15, y'all on IRs wearing suit, and they make up fake injuries, right? Like back injury, all this. So I'm fully healthy on IR. So when I actually got hurt, it was like, nah, I'm good. Yeah, like, nah. So when I'm sitting there in the training room and doing these little exercises and all that stuff, I'm like, man, this is so boring, bruh. Come on, man, speed this up. Let's What's phase seven? Like this phase one ain't, this ain't it for me. I want to go to phase seven already so I can get back.
Yeah, facts, man. It gets tough. Yeah, it gets tough, man. You know, it gets tough, but you know, it is what it is, man. It's like someone told me a long time ago that if you're on a road and it's easy, then you're on the wrong road. Mm-hmm. So I take that in consideration to my career. You know, some of the best players in the league had their best years, you know, at 30 or above. So for me, you know, I'm optimistic and I'm humble about it. But I want the world also to know that I'm playing for a higher calling, a higher power. And that's what the revenge tour is, really, honestly. You know, again, like you said, like I really felt like I was, you know, matter of fact, I knew I was there, you know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like, it feels like, you know, everybody else was like, oh, he's got hurt. So, you know, he can no longer be there anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just use that as fuel. And so we'll see what the future brings, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
So during your recovery rehab, you mentioned that you got to see who was really with you and who wasn't really with you. So I'm gonna ask you first, who was really with you during that time? Who were the people?
Great question.
You know how that goes too. I mean, you know, like my pops played in the league, he suffered a neck injury, and you see quick, like all the people that was fucking, all the people used to show up at the house, all them Uncle X, Y, and Z's that I used to have, I ain't see them no more, so.
You know, it's amazing, man. It's like, it really puts things into perspective for you, because you know, when you first get hurt, you first get injured, it's 1,001 text messages you get. Mm-hmm. People checking on you, people tweeting, whatever the case may be. A week later, it's dead. It's nobody checking on you. It's nobody seeing how you're doing. 2 months, 3 months later, it's nobody checking on you. Nobody seeing how you're doing. You watching everybody else. You sitting back like, all right. You know what I'm saying? But there was certain people who were always there, always checking on me, my family. You know what I'm saying? They had no choice, obviously, because they my family. But
I mean, they got no choice. They need that
you'd
check.
Be surprised.
They need the bills paid.
But no, my family was always there. They were always there. You know, me and my father had got super close because of my second injury. You know what I mean? And it's something that right now is like, it's super dope to be able to like talk to him closely and relate to him on a whole different kind of level, like being a grown man. You know what I'm saying? It was really important for me, really inspirational for me. So I'm definitely thankful for that. My manager right now, Neiman Johnson, like a lot of people don't know, like, I think a lot of people, because he's so new, you know, a lot of people, you know, he gets, you know, all the heat. You know what I'm saying? When you're that close to somebody, you're going to get all the heat. But Neiman was there before a lot of people, you know, noticed him. You know what I'm saying? He was someone I could go talk to and just, you could know, kind of vent with, that had no ulterior motive. You know what I'm saying? That just genuinely wants to know, like, what's going on in your head? And this was during like that during that time, you know what I'm saying? And Neiman was actually there the first time I got hurt, you know what I'm saying? And he's still here now. So that just shows you what kind of human being he is. My best friend and assistant now, Ra, she's always been there too, you know what I'm saying? She knows me better than I know myself, to be honest with you. And you know, those two right now, those two are like, my yin and my yang, you know what I'm saying? When I go to them and I talk, I can tell they listening to me, but they like, boy, like, you don't realize, like, you got it in you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because before, the people I was rolling with, you could feel the eeriness, you could feel the doubt when you would walk in the room, when you would walk with them. Yeah, I was so focused on that I wasn't really paying attention to the feeling, because I'm like, oh, this is all I've wanted. This is what I want. This is what I'm focused on. But taking a step back and really reflecting, it's like, boy, you always knew that eerie feeling was there. Mm-hmm. You just wasn't paying attention to it because you were so focused on the ascension. You know what I'm saying? And maybe God needed to slow me down in order for me to fix the squares in my circle. So I couldn't, if I didn't do that, who was to say I would have been able to get to where I wanted to be? So. There's a lot of other people, you know, from my trainers to, you know, guys, my PTs who played a intricate role on me being who I am and being where I'm at today. But, you know, for the most part, man, I just stay true to myself, and that's the work. You know, all both of y'all know it's the work. Gil, I heard so many stories about you growing up in the D.C. area about your work ethic. So it's inspired me as well. You know what I'm saying? Agent Zero was a real thing. Let me be real. You understand? Like, we was, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was watching you closely. You know what I'm saying? You was playing for my home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the stories I've heard of your work ethic is definitely inspirational, and have has sunk in my whole career since I was a youngster. So that's a real thing.
It's crazy because it's all I knew. It's because, you know, before the injury, it was, you know, getting basically draft day, right? And even though I worked my whole career, I always worked, you know, that was my thing. And I didn't really, when I got to the NBA, I didn't really know how to work. I just, you know, I'll sit in the gym 9-10 hours, didn't know what I was doing. And then Chris Mullin sat me down and said, you know, I used to be in the gym all the time, told me he had an alcoholic problem, right? And this is what saved him. So me and him would play, shit, I don't know how old, he was retired already. We'll play full court one-on-one, kill, murder that man. Half court? Oh no. It was like a whole other NBA when we went to half court basketball. Like full court, like he couldn't keep up. I mean, I'm just half court. It actually taught me like, what is this? Like, it's like, yo, you gotta play half court basketball. You gotta learn how to, when it's small. So, you know, him teaching me how to play, how to work, you know, like get your work in, go at 110%, go home, rest, come back. So when you're angry, your girlfriend in here, don't argue with your girlfriend. Use that anger to perfect your skill. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You having a problem with your family, perfect your skill. You know what I mean? You didn't have you didn't get enough minutes. Perfect your skill. So he taught me how to channel everything that was going on in the outside world into that basketball world. Mm-hmm. So I only knew who my friends and family was that was here, right? So what ended up happening is I built this wall. If I didn't see you in a gym, I ain't talking to you. Nah. You know what I mean? So my friends, if you ain't rebounding, if that machine break, like I use the machine, if them balls bounce out and your ass ain't hustling to go get them to put them back in, I don't know you, we ain't friends. You know what I mean? So that's how I started judging people. So when I got hurt, same thing happened. Oh man, what happened? You all right? Send him a love. Week later, so
they gone.
They
be gone.
So I what I did was, I put no incoming calls on my phone. So my whole, to this day,
it's true.
No incoming calls are allowed. So I can only call you, receive text back. You can't call my phone. You didn't, listen, you didn't call me when I was hurt. I don't want to hear that shit. Hey, yo.
But what if we came into your life after that? Like, I'm post-rebound, because I be trying to hit you, and it's just.
It's still, that's what I'm saying. It texts me, I get to read it. I want to read what you say. I don't want you to call me that. Y'all didn't call me when I was hurt. Nah. But it ends up happening like that. You start, because people don't realize, yo, I'm a human too. Like, I have feelings too. Like, yeah, I do the basketball thing, but yo, check on me, see how I'm feeling. I don't care what I tweet or I'm saying in the, like, when it's over, I'm by myself, I'm lonely. I'm like, if something happened to you, I'm checking, yo, you all right? All right, speedy recovery. I'm gonna check on you week by week to see, to make sure you're doing the right things. But when it comes the other way, it's like you that know, TV shit only works.
You know, what's funny is I've built a whole new perspective on it is that and I'll be talking to Neem about this. Like, I can never expect what I give in return. Thanks. No matter what, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, now I might get it, mm-hmm. but never expect to get it. Never you understand? It. Like, mm-hmm. Because not everybody was raised the same way. Not everybody comes from the same background. Not everybody has the same values. Not everybody has the same beliefs. You understand what I'm saying? So for me to expect the same gesture or the same, you know, kindness or the same things in return would, well, that'd be me being a fool, really, honestly. You know what I'm saying? And I have to be okay with that and understand it. Like, sometimes it's not personal. It's just people just don't know how to be that way. Yep. You know? That's why it doesn't matter when their opinions rise. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It plays no role in my life. You understand what I'm saying? So I think when you go through stuff like this, like it makes you grow.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes you grow, and it makes you, like, your perspective on things, on people, on the world is just so drastically different now. You know what I'm saying? Like, things that used to bother you don't bother you. Things that you used to care about, you don't really care about anymore. Like, and it's because you've been low. Like, a lot of people don't know what it feels like to be that low.
Yeah, to hit the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people don't know what it feels like to hit the bottom. And it's like,
that's a real place.
I remember,
man.
I remember it was it a championship? No, it was a championship when Kevin Durant messes Achilles up.
Yeah, that was a championship.
Yep.
That was 2019.
Yep, I hit him and said, I don't want you to look at the world in a negative way now. Mm. I said, they was happy. They was happy you got hurt. But you got to take that as who you are, right? Mm. You were the only threat that they was afraid of.
For sure.
Right? You were Superman that they were afraid of. And now that you're off the court, they feel like this is their time. So don't feel bad about what they did. That's just the power you had. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to, you know, the medical staff, don't blame them, because me and you both know, if you could have came back game one, you would have came back game one.
For sure.
If I erase your memory right now and re-ran this 100 times over with, you will come back 100 times. 100 times, because the hooper is going to want to hoop. Like, right. This is the biggest stage in the world. This is the hoop part of you is not going to say, all right, I'm going to just rest up and then wait for the next year. If you can play 25%, you're going to go out there and try, you know, especially in the championship game. And he was like, you're right. No matter what the motherfucker said, I was going out there.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's just the way, you know, some people are built. And I said, you know, look, people, it's going to be lonely. And I said, this summer going to be lonely. I don't know if he understood what I was saying. I'm pretty sure it happened to him. Like, yeah. You know, people going to count you out.
For sure.
You know, I said, this is the time you reflect on your career, right? Reflect on the things you did, the things you accomplished. We're so robotic that, you know, we train, summer comes, we gonna go on vacation, and then when we get, like, bored of that, then it's like back to the gym. We can smell when the season's changing. Now the season's about to start, right? That September 13th, 12th, training camp's coming, right? And we have this machinery type of, you know, like, thing to us. So I said, right now, you're out of the machine. Think about, like, from your rookie year to now, understand that process you went through, the time you put in, the awards you won, the things you did. Once you understand what you've accomplished, you know where you're going, right? Sometimes we're trying to get back to something, not realizing, hold on, let me see, okay, what did I do? All right, first year, second year, this is what I accomplished. All right, okay, this is where I wanna go now. So now you know where you wanna go. Right now, most, when they come back, they don't know where to go. They just trying to, I just need to be out there. I just need to be out there. Nah, you have a purpose. Look at what your stats did. Look at what your career, you know, went through. Now that tells you where you need to go. You know, and now you have another goal in mind, and that's where you start moving towards. Mm-hmm. That now, looking at Kevin Durant now, when people say, where is he going? Wherever his brain tells him now. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's, you know, he's not the same as he was before. He's a new person. You know what I mean? When he got injured and he had to sit back and just reflect on his career, reflect, yo, you a Hall of Famer already. Now what do you want to do? Do you want 4 more rings, 5 more rings? Like, what is the legacy that you want to go from now? You know what I mean? And some players, you know, we don't really get the luxury to really sit back and enjoy what we're doing. Mm. Like, that was like, you see the jerseys, I put the jerseys that I have, like, I watched these players, I played against these players. So when I look at it, I can reflect back on memories. And sometimes when we're playing, we don't, like, I'll look at highlights like, I don't remember that shit. Right? I scored 40, yeah, I don't remember that. You know what I mean? Because we're just, it's just, when we're in a groove, we're in a groove. Yeah. Like, you know, like, we're in a groove. Like, I can show you highlights right now, and you'd be like, yeah, man. What year was that? Like, that was your second year, right? You're like, yeah, I don't even remember. Because it's moving so fast that the game is moving, the game is moving faster than, you know, what team is this? It was four? This your fourth team?
This my Orlando, OKC, Indiana,
Houston.
Yeah.
So that's just about to be your fifth.
It's my fifth, yeah.
It goes by. Yeah. It goes by.
This year 10.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
10, yes. Damn.
Crazy. It's insane. Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about now. You signed a 2-year extension with the Heat, 2-year deal. You guys were a bucket and a stop away, game 7 of the ECS from going to the finals. East is stacked this year. I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about the Miami Heat. And I know
you never talk about
it. And it's wild to see that the squad is literally, again, you know what I mean, right there. So how excited are you for this season? And do you think the Heat have what it takes to get to the finals this year?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we had what it took last year. We just came up short, so. You know, I'm not surprised nobody talking about us, though. You know, that's just how we not the most attractive team, I guess you could say. Yeah. There's a lot of more cuter guys out there than us, I guess. But but in all seriousness, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of talent. It's going to be hard to pick. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard to choose who's going to come out the East or who's going to be the top teams in the East, because it seems like everybody just coming over, you know what I'm saying? So it'd be interesting to see, man. I'm looking forward to the competition. I know a lot of guys are getting better. A lot of teams are getting stacked. And, you know, what better way to see where you at than put yourself against the best? And the East is stacking up to look like it's that every night. So we'll see, though, man. You know, I know what we trying to do. And what we play for, we've been doing that since I walked in that arena, since I walked in that program. So I know what our mentality is and what we're trying to accomplish. And we definitely feel like we can get back there. And we definitely feel like we can make it to the finals. So we just got to keep working and taking it one game at a time like we always been doing. And everything else will take care of itself. That sounded politically correct.
Yeah, man. You did a good job, man. No, you know, the fact that you guys went that far and you only played, what, six games in the regular season?
Six regular seasons.
So, yeah, you know what I mean? The fact that if you'd have been there the whole time and, you know, would they cut your minutes in the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
usually you try to go with the people you can rely on. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I remember I did that when I was in Memphis, too. Like, I didn't play much in the playoffs because I got hurt, like, towards the end, and they got their rotation. Once you get your rotation,
that's a wrap.
Which is weird. Which is it bothers me sometimes. I'm not even gonna lie.
Why?
Because I don't, you know, I think it's, I'm not a coach, right? So I don't know how coaches really, like, go into games, but it's not the way a player goes into games. Like, don't tell me, like, there's a, like, sometimes I get subbed out, like, what you subbing me out for? Because it was part of the, it was part of the rotation. They're like, don't rotate me right now. Like, you know what I mean? That I always had that problem. Like, let me tell you when I'm ready to come out. Like, I have the feel of the game. You're watching it like this. That is not the same feel as this right here. You know what I mean? So you have, okay, we're going, you know, we're going to sub him in for a minute. We're going to play it. We're going to keep it tight at eight. You can't go into a game pre, this is not a fucking pre-packaged meal. This is not, you know what I mean? This is, I'm not, this is not, this is not some gym workout where everything is pre-packaged and, you know, you're going to eat this at one and eat this at three. Nah, that's not how fucking game of basketball is played.
So you think if you could have subbed yourself out, you would have been reasonable? You would have, like, subbed yourself out when you was tired, or you would have played the whole game?
No, there's some times where, like, okay, so I never wanted to be subbed out until the second half, until the second quarter started. Don't sub me out.
You want to play the whole first quarter?
I want to play the whole first, because I want, like, the shit I did in the first 8-7 minutes, and I got hit, I want to be rewarded in the last three.
Yeah, right.
You know, when they can't touch me no more, we in a penalty, I want to get those free throws in. Mm-hmm. Take me out at the end of the second, and then from there, I'm just going to gauge the game. If we hurry up and get into the penalty, Because you got to remember, when you have two other stars on a team, right, mm-hmm. that need their buckets, they need their points, I got to figure out a system how to score without affecting them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So now that's where everyone hates it now. That's where I'm driving and you touch me and I do all of that. Foul, let's go to the free throw line. So I'm getting my points without taking away from Karan and Antoine and Larry Hughes and them. So I had to try to develop a game within the game where I didn't take away from your shot. So, you know, you got, I'm averaging 29, 20, 19. But I'm averaging 29 because I'm sitting at the free throw line longer. Clock stop, no possessions. So when motherfuckers look at the clock, they're like, did they only took 17 shots? Yeah, bro, I don't even shoot like that. I got 25 free throws. You know what I mean? So, you know, but when you go into the playoffs and you're trying to, like, cut your rotations, like, the game dictates who plays, mm-hmm. how much they play, mm-hmm. right? Matchups. This person might got in foul trouble. I might need to pull him in a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't planning on playing, but because I remember Dwight Howard told me he ain't on the team no more, so I can say it. He called me before game. It was game six against Miami, and he hit me and said, "Yeah, coach said I ain't playing." I said, "Wait, what?" He said, "Coach said I ain't playing today." How the f- can he tell you you ain't playing today? How can he pre? The game ain't even started. The game ain't started. What if motherfuckers get in foul trouble? You go, because what ends up happening is it fucks him up because he knows he's not playing, so he ain't gonna go through his routine.
Yeah, yeah.
He ain't gonna get mentally ready. Mm-hmm. You know, from there he's just gonna become a cheerleader. Now you gonna say get him in the game. He all fucked up now, right? You can't tell a player he ain't gonna play because you don't know he's not gonna play. You don't know if you're gonna be able to use him. So why would you even say that? That's when I start, you know, like, damn, that's the shit that used to happen back in the day. They haven't learned this game from this vision. Hmm. They just know how to coach it from this vision, not understanding that everything you do, everything you say affects players.
That's a real thing. That's you are 100% right. I mean, I just think also, you know, it is probably tough for them, you know, to be in that position and that perspective. But, you know, it's almost the saying, like, you never really understand unless you're in someone else's shoes, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I never really heard it like that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that perspective and the way you described it, but it's head on, you know what I'm saying? Like, this situation with me when, you know, after I played six games and then they took me out of rotation, to sit here and say I was happy about it, I would be lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like, you know, I don't, there's no real way, good way or bad way to handle it. I just felt like, you know, what I wasn't handled right. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But I could sit here and say it probably was the best thing that happened to me because it lighted a fire because I was so like upset.
Yeah.
And like my people will tell you, like, I ain't want to be around me, because that's how mad I was. And it wasn't because, you know, I felt like they were wrong. I just knew what I was capable of, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like, you know, the circumstance and the situation and everything, you know, I wasn't really given the opportunity to prove that, you know what I'm saying, coming back six games in March after everybody has played a whole year, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, ah, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen, like you were saying. So then your perspective comes in now. It's like, you can't say he can't play because then you don't know. Somebody goes down, somebody, something, God forbid, something happens, then you're going to have to put him in. He's got to be ready to play. And that's literally what happened.
Yeah, it's the playoffs, right? What is the playoffs? It's do they still give you the book, right? Everybody gets the book
everybody
of everything a player does, right? That means, like, calls, plays, all that's scouted, right? So what ends up happening is your that blue piece of paper, that white piece of paper, that is meaningless in the playoffs. It's meaningless. You have to be engaged in the game, right? I remember it was the year they went with the Lakers, and Nunn came in, quick buckets, subbed them out, didn't play no more, again. I'm like, they didn't scout that player. He's the most dangerous player now because he hasn't been scouted.
Yeah.
They don't know nothing about him. You know, we're going to read. The most players going to read. Other than that, everybody's like, I know who he is, right? No one knew who he was. He came in, he disrupted the defense because they were so used to this player doing this, this player doing this. You know, Bron. He gonna be over here, he gonna be over here. If I turn my back, he gonna try the back door. So he knows how to move. Well, he didn't know this left-hand player right here who just coming in, just taking wild shots. That was a game changer. They didn't know what that was. You last year, game changer. Put him in, see what he's gonna do. They're so used to this compact defense, they might have to set it up because now there's another score on the court that we didn't plan for.
Right, exactly.
Like, I remember we were down like 18 points in a game, right? And Coach Eddie was like, hey man, I want to put Blake, you know, Steve Blake and Juan Dixon in. Okay, he said, but how am I gonna put him in? Just put all three of us in. Like, he was like, all right, I didn't know if you wanted to play the three. I said, first of all, I'm not playing the three. I'm still gonna play the point, but. He's like, I said, what do you want us to do? Junk the game up. He said, you know, junk the game up. Let's see what we have. All right. Them two little Maryland guards picking up, hitting shots. Like, I mean, because the way we played, those two didn't really get in like that. See, Steve Blake didn't get in because I'm playing 42 minutes a game. You know, Larry Hughes playing about 40 minutes a game, so Juan Dixon again. So they didn't really get to play how they wanted to play, but see, since they were a Maryland backcourt, they knew how to play together. So what ended up happening is, that game, we came back one.
Wow.
Came back one. That became our best unit when we were down.
Wow.
Even without me, Steve Blake and Juan Dixon became our best. They wasn't even like really part of the rotation because Coach didn't know how to, because we're playing 40-something minutes. We're down 15, put them two in there. They know what to do. They'll pick up full court, take shots that you just wouldn't even think. It was just a whole fast offense.
Wow.
But it wasn't part of the paperwork.
Right.
But Coach, when he knows, damn, we down, we need something changed, put him in. Here, all five out, put the new five in.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's, you know, you gotta coach off instinct sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You gotta feel it. Like, if I'm seeing you over there angry, this is what I need that. Come on in there. Let me see. Motherfucker might knock a nigga head off. Like, you never know. Like, you know what I mean? He gonna get so angry that he's taking shots. Like, we already been there. When a coach messing with us and we come in, hitting shots, we start looking at him. Yeah, motherfucker, I told you I was nice. I told you. I need that player. Yeah, you know what I mean? I need that player that's so angry with me that he's on level 100. I think sometimes, you know, sometimes coaches get into that egotistic part of the game where they take everything personal, right? Like, it ain't. It's a game. We're gonna bump. We're gonna disagree. And you know, I'm not one of those people that's supposed to penalize you for being mad at me. Like, if I messed up, I messed up. You know what I mean? So I'm not gonna penalize your game because we had a disagreement. That's too much power.
Right.
And sometimes they use it. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned you only played six regular season games last year, but I want to talk about final game of the season. You get to go back to Orlando where your NBA career first started. Drop that 40-10-7 on the Magic's head. But what did that do for you from a confidence standpoint? I also want to say that 40-point-10-rebound double-double, first time I think since D-Wade had done that for Miami. But what did that game do for you in terms of confidence going into the postseason?
Do you want me to be honest with you? It ain't do nothing for me.
Okay.
To be real with you, like, I already know what I'm capable of. You know what I'm saying? I just need the opportunity to show it. And I felt like that, you know, during that time, you know, I was out the rotation, so it was only so much I was playing. But prior to that, I had a really good game in Toronto, too. And I had to wait a week and a half or 2 weeks before I played that game. And honestly, my mentality was just, I just really didn't care. I just knew I was what I had to do and go out there, and I had to just, I was just going. I didn't really hear nobody. I didn't really know where I was at, to be honest with you. I was just focused on showing everybody what I'm capable of, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was great and all, you know what I'm saying? It was cool to be able to go back to that arena, you know, perform the way I performed. But, you know, it was the last game of the year. You know, we didn't win or whatever the case may be. You know, I performed really well, but, you know, I like meaningful basketball too, you know what I'm saying? I like dominating meaningful basketball games as well, so. Any game you play is meaningful, but you know, I mean the real meaningful ones. You know what I'm talking about? So it was great. You know what I mean? To say I wasn't feeling myself a little bit, I would be lying too. But.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Like, you know, it's like we all go through the same, there's like this the same path, right? I remember I was in Orlando, and Stan Van Gundy was the coach, bruh. And he wouldn't play me to save my life. Like, someone had to get hurt. Right? But I can tell you this, every time somebody got hurt, I know I had a dub. So I remember Jason Richardson came in, he was like, yo, I'm not playing today. Yes! Yeah, hey, I got 20, y'all. I got 20. He got to go through me. Hey, Dwight started laughing, Jameer started laughing because they knew that he can't sub me now. So I don't know what it was between me and him. It was more loyalty. I didn't hate him because he was loyal to Jameer, because me and Jameer was like tight, right? And I said, you know, if I'm the coach, the same thing, you've been my dog this whole time, I'm not playing a new dude, right? So me and Jameer, we already had, I don't want your position. I came here, you know, to come off the bench and, you know, so I was fine, but when somebody got hurt and I got the play. Oh, 20, I got 20. 20, he'll walk in that mud. Hey, Stan, I got 20 today. All right, I don't know how many we gonna score today, but I got a dub for the day.
Sure.
And if you look at the stats, when somebody was injured, 20 something.
Duh, every time.
But it wasn't, to be honest, it was to the point, I'm gonna be honest, it wasn't even about winning. Like, it wasn't even, my brain wasn't even about winning the game. It was more showing, dude, that, yo, I can play still.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know why you not, like, how do I go from 20 points in 20 minutes to the next game 3 minutes? Like, how was this even? Our playoff game, I led the team in scoring. I was second in scoring with 6 points in 3 minutes. That was number two.
That's incredible.
He put me in 3 minutes. I scored 3 straight baskets. Never played again.
What?
So it was more me. It was more of, like, I just want to play, get out there, prove this man wrong. And it wasn't even, I didn't care if we won, we lost. I didn't care about none of that at that point.
So when you was like at the peak, they would say, they call it the peak of your career.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about in games? What was your mentality if it wasn't to prove anyone wrong or show somebody something?
Okay, so in my peak.
Was it to win?
So in my peak, right?
Like when you didn't have to worry about a coach being like, I ain't subbing him out, you know what I'm saying? Where you was just agent.
So my thought, to be honest, my thought process changed every quarter.
Right.
It was a quarter by quarter. Like, so first quarter was like attacking my opponent before he attacks me, right? So I want to let him know I'm the dominant one on the court. So that's where I'm going to do the most trash talking. The first quarter, I'm going to do the most trash talking, and I'm going to be aggressive, right? Second quarter is finishing a quarter positive, right? And third quarter, coming out on top. Fourth quarter, just straight closeout, yeah. Kill mode. Like, it's when I'm focused the most. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happened in the first three quarters, my fourth quarter brain was different than, you know what I mean? So I can miss all these shots, and then I'm on in the last 2-3 minutes. And that's where, you know, winning time came in. That's where, you know, all the Michael Jordan movies I've seen, all the things I've heard about, all that, you know, tuned into that. I don't know how many, like, if you see the interview when I scored 60, mm-hmm. right? And the lady was like, oh, you had 60 there. And I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. It shocked me. Cause I never looked up there because that the part of the game was not what my stats look like. That's first two quarters.
Yeah.
That's first two quarters. Yeah. That fourth quarter, it was a whole different mindset. But, you know, just throughout the game, just being aggressive. Like, I'll tell somebody, like, yo, if I'm not being aggressive enough, I'm being too aggressive, let me know. So I'll look at the sideline, and I used to have Chucky Atkins, and I'm like, man, keep going, because, you know, when you're playing a game, like, if you're out there making passes, you gotta remember, they can see something different. You're out there, and you getting people involved, and they be like, no, you need to turn it up, because, you know, it's about that time. I'm gonna look, and they're gonna tell me, turn it up, or be like, yo, slow down. You're like, you know, you're tying yourself out, you're too aggressive, you're pushing it, because in the fourth quarter, I don't need them. But the first three quarters, you know, I needed, you know, somebody to stay on me, yeah. to let me know how the game is going. Because right. how I did the game going versus how someone else sees it, it could be a little bit different.
Right, exactly.
Because they're seeing something I don't see sometimes, like, yo, hey, get big fella involved. You know, he ain't helping you on the defensive end. But who? We got the big man in right now? I'll say some shit like, ooh. I didn't even know he was in the game, man. There's been plenty of times where I'm so locked in. I'll tell Coach, yo, sub, bro, in. Right? And Coach will be like, he's already in. Oh. Because, you know, like, some people are better in picking roles. And I'm like, oh, I need to pick a role right now. But I've been doing one-on-one the whole time. I ain't even realized, yeah. bro was in.
In the game.
You know, yeah. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah, it happens, definitely.
It happens.